Off the ball.
Rugby.
Each time Scotland scored a seven-pointer, Ireland responded in an average time span of 5 minutes with 7 points to the row.
Oh, yeah.
3 minutes, 5 minutes and 7 minutes were the tries that came in response to that.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we look ahead to tonight's action in the League of Ireland, including our live commentary game between Bohemians and Dundalk. Hamir Halgrimsson calls for cool, calm and experienced heads ahead of a huge game in Prague. And the omens bode well for Troy Parrott after he scores in the Czech capital for AZ Alkmaar in the Conference League last night. But first today, Bohemians will look to maintain their position at the top of the League of Ireland Premier Division with a positive result at home to Dundalk. Bows are unbeaten in their opening seven games this season. Their latest result was a nil-all draw at Shelburne at Talca Park last Monday. Dawson Devoy was named Bows Player of the Month for February and told the Bows media team his side are in for a tough task against a Dundalk team who've only lost once on their return to the top flight.
Obviously going to be a really difficult game. They've actually started well, you know, and they've have, like you said, they've had a good weekend coming off the back of two really good wins and two clean sheets as well. So we're expecting a really difficult game. We know a lot about them, you know, a lot of the players would have played here and things like that. So, like I said, a really difficult game, but, one will be looking to get all 3 points, yeah.
Devoy was also in with a shout of making Hamir Halgrimsson's squad for next week's playoff against the Czech Republic and Prague. He says he's on standby for next week and is also encouraged by the fact there'll be a training camp in May in Spain for players not involved in English playoff games.
I think for me and for everyone, I think it gives, obviously, like I said there, it gives the league a massive boost for the players in it to know that these types of friendlies and things are happening. And like you said, for younger players, it's massive. So I think, obviously for myself and but for anyone really to go and perform at a high level and know there could be a chance, yeah.
Kick off at Dalymount Park tonight is 8 o'clock. There's live commentary from 7 o'clock on Off the Ball on News Talk and on the Go Loud app. Stephen Doyle and Vinnie Perth will be in the commentary box. Elsewhere in the league tonight, champion Shamrock Rovers host Galway United at Tallaght Stadium. Dylan Watts is a major doubt after he picked up a knock against Drogheda last Monday. Rory Gaffney won't be available until after the international break. Galway, who won 4-3 at home to Waterford last Monday, could give a first start to France Pirro, one of the goal scorers in that game. Rovers have a formidable record against Galway. It's 42 league games without a loss in the league. But Rovers boss Stephen Bradley told Rovers in-house media team they're in for a tough test tonight against John Caulfield's side.
We all know John's teams and how well he always has them set up. And it's early in the season, but I think this Galway team is as good as John's had. And I think if you look at their start, it shows you that and how they've played. And I'm sure they'll come to Talla with no fear and look to win the game. So
that game in Talla also kicks off at 8 o'clock. Ben Symes will be there for us before he hops on LOI late night on X just after 10 o'clock. Derry City welcome Drogheda United to the Ryan McBride Brandywell, where Tiernan Lynch's side will be looking for just their second win in six games. Derry drew nil all away to St Pat's last Monday. Drogheda were beaten 4-1 away to Pat's last Friday in our commentary game, but they did follow that up with a nil all draw at home to Shamrock Rovers on Monday. Kickoff in Derry is 7:45. There's also a 7:45 start at the RSC, where bottom side Waterford are at home to second place St Pat's. Also, four games in the First Division tonight. Leaders Cork City are away to UCD. Second place Athlone Town are also away from home. They face Treaty United. Cove Ramblers are at home to Bray Wanderers and Kerry host Finn Harps. Those games are all underway at 8:15. Athlone Town say the club is focused on this weekend's game with DLR Waves after the surprise departure of John Sullivan. He resigned last night, having only taken over in September on an interim basis before later signing a 2-year contract. The Midlands club won a league and cup double last season and recently lifted the President's Cup. Athlone drew 1-1 with Sligo Rovers last weekend in their first league game of the season. Troy Parrott scored for AZ Alkmaar last night in their 4-0 win away to Sparta Prague in the Conference League. He was named man of the match after scoring his 28th goal of the season, 1 week out from Ireland's crucial World Cup playoff with the Czechs. Meanwhile, Ireland boss Hamir Halgrimsson has called for calm heads and experience in what could be a hostile environment next Thursday. Speaking at his press conference yesterday at his squad announcement, he said his job is to keep the players level-headed.
I've hinted a little bit before, the experience is important. The guys that have done it before, they share that experience. And it's just, the other thing is to try to be relaxed. You know, it's probably our job to cool things down and make people relaxed rather than motivating them, because I know they are so motivated. So probably our job will be to cool them down more than excite them.
And on the first edition of the brand new Irish Football Podcast, The Green Scene, with Matthew Brennan, Ben Symes and David Wilson, the three lads discussed the possible impact that Boston Lawal could have in midfield.
And then I saw Boston Lawal and I thought, I didn't expect him to be fit. And then Hamer comes out and basically he was asked why was he picked over Conor Coventry. And he said it was a very tough choice. Boston's been in the camps before. He's physical, he's taller, and he can cope with what we expect this game on Thursday to be about.
Yes.
I wouldn't be shocked to see Boston Lawal play a big role on Thursday, based off those comments from Hamer today.
Yeah. Boston Lawal is someone that I've been, if there is anyone listening that has watched any of the previous edition of the Green Scene on Off the Ball Breakfast, Boston Lawal is someone I used to do an EFL Team of the Week on that, and Boston Lawal, I think, was one of, if not the most capped players on it.
It
was a bit of a running joke in that on the show. The lads were asking me how Lawal got on at the weekend, whether he was in the team or not. So I've been incredibly impressed with how he's gotten on this season. His first kind of proper, he's had issues with his back, and he's at Stoke at the minute playing with a good manager in Mark Robbins. The problem that he's had, as far as the Ireland squads are concerned, and he's been in them, but he's gotten injured around the times the squad have been announced once or twice. But the problem is he's been playing at centre half for pretty much all of the season for Stoke. In certain games, he'll play an hour at centre half, move into midfield, and play a half hour. He started games at right back, he started games at left back, and then he's had a couple of injury woes. So on paper, and what we've heard about Lawal as he's been coming through, is that he's the answer to our problems in midfield. We're yet to see that translate on the pitch for his club, purely because he's had to plug gaps everywhere else.
Yeah.
As you mentioned there, them quotes from Hamer, I think, are incredibly telling. And the one thing that, without doing any sort of deep analysis on the checks, which of course we will have stuff coming across our platforms over the next week about that, we know they're physical. We know Thomas Souček. We know they've recalled Derrida as well, who's not a small guy.
Yeah.
If he does get in, I think that's incredibly telling that he's mentioned the physicality of Lawal, the height of Lawal, and I know from watching this season the talent that he does have, and I would not at all be surprised or shocked or disappointed to see him start on Thursday.
Remember, if you want to listen back to that podcast in full, it's in your OTB Football podcast feed for free. Aston Villa and Nottingham Forest are into the quarterfinals of the Europa League. Villa won 2-0 at home to Lille, 3-0 at finish over the two legs. Forest overturned a 1-0 first leg deficit to beat FC Michelin 3-0 on penalties. That game finished 2-1 after extra time. Crystal Palace beat nine-man AEK Larnaca 2-1 after extra time in Cyprus to seal a place in the last eight of the Conference League. Thomas Tuchel has recalled Manchester United pair Harry Maguire and Kobe Mainoo to his England squad. Everton's James Garner has been picked for the first time, with Fikayo Tomori is back. There's also call-ups for lead striker Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Tottenham's Dominic Solanke. But there's no place in the 35-man squad for Trent Alexander-Arnold, Luke Shaw or Ollie Watkins. England face Uruguay and Japan in two friendlies later this month, ahead of this summer's World Cup finals. Manchester United boss Michael Carrick believes his captain Bruno Fernandes definitely deserves to be considered for the PFA Player of the Year award.
I think he's had a fantastic season. It's not so much who I would vote for, but I'm delighted that he's playing the way he is and having the impact that he is for us, and he's proven to be right up there. And then conversations, I'd love to see him obviously take the award, you know, and it says a lot about what's going on at this club.
The United interim boss was speaking ahead of their trip to Bournemouth this evening in the Premier League. After that match, United don't play again until mid-April. Meanwhile, Bournemouth boss Andoni Iraola says his side will have to lift their levels to get anything against United. Despite their impressive 10-game unbeaten run, he believes their opponents have made real strides under Michael Carrick. Five of Bournemouth's last six matches have ended in draws, and Iraola would be happy with a point tonight.
It would be a different draw from the last ones. Probably it would be, feel a little bit better from the last results, probably. But I think we will have to be very good if we want to get a draw, because they are playing very well. I think it's going to be a difficult one.
That game at the Vitality kicks off at 8 o'clock. Liverpool boss Arnold Slot's confirmed Mo Salah will miss tomorrow's game away to Brighton. The Egyptian's been ruled out with a muscle injury he picked up in Wednesday night's Champions League win over Galatasaray. But Slot doesn't have a time frame on Salah's return.
The good thing for Liverpool, for us, is that we go to an international break. The bad thing for Egypt is that he can't go there. But we are hoping also with what Mo has shown in the past, that he can recover faster than other players might can in similar situations.
Chelsea boss Lemar Senior's adamant Enzo Fernandez will be a Chelsea player next season. The World Cup winning midfielder told reporters after their Champions League loss to PSG he doesn't know where he'll play after the summer. Fernandez is under contract at Stamford Bridge until 2032 and Rossignol believes he's happy where he is.
I had a great conversation with Enzo at length, not just about his comments, just how he was feeling, how as a team we can improve. He's one of the captains of the club. He made it really, really clear to me how happy he is here at this club, how passionate he is for us to be successful. So for me, he's fully committed to this group. He's fully committed to win.
And on last night's football show, Dion Fanning joined Owen Sheehan and spoke about the ongoing Chelsea situation.
Rossignol is, it does look like he's reaching the kind of end of the road. So soon.
And that's what's giving that away? formulating that opinion?
Well, I suppose it's not so much, it's just that he came in, he's basically, you know, he had a brief spell when he came in where things didn't go as badly as it looked like they would from everything he was saying. And now, what many points have they got in their last five or six games? It's 4 or 5 points or something like that, isn't it? And, you know, you obviously have the PSG result, the defeat to Newcastle, and surrounding it then, and these are important things. I know people think they're not, these are important. You have surrounding those results, you have the respect the ball situation. Yep. Chelsea used to be a proper club, though. I was at Chelsea today. You know, Wayne Bridge and John Terry were they going to shake hands or not? I was there that day. That's what that club was built on. You know, what'll happen in this handshake? And now we're listening to this guy talking. What do you mind what a Chelsea fan feels about this? That was the glory era, and now you've got this guy talking about respecting the ball and handing Garnacho notes. 7 minutes from the end. Do you see Garnacho's face when he was handed the note?
It was a very disappointing message, obviously.
I think Garnacho, who, can sometimes seem like a player who's not really switched on and, a hugely frustrating player to watch. But I think even he realised, why do I need a note at this point? Why do I need, we're 8-2 down and you're giving me a note. What, unless... It's like, threat to kind of, kidnap the referee or something.
Maybe just to protect the ball.
Protect the ball. It's really not going to make much of a difference. So I think those things at a club like Chelsea and with a fan base like Chelsea, like Rossignol was never, we talked about Rossignol the week he came in. And how it seemed like this was a doomed appointment. And again, it was in the Chelsea thought they were being very smart. They think, look at the managers they've had since they bought the club from Abramovich. Abramovich went through plenty of managers too, but they've moved them around and there is this sense that they're, which has a truth to it, but the truth that the manager is a kind of peripheral figure or not the most important figure is probably correct, or their belief that that is what a manager is, peripheral or not the central figure in the club anymore, has some grounding in fact. But in a way, what that means is that the manager you have has to have more of an authority than the ones that Chelsea are employing, because they have to have a presence and they have to have an ability to convey a message and to feel to be plausible, and they have to be plausible in terms of, especially in terms of the club that they're managing, I think, and like Chelsea is an idiosyncratic club in that its fan base has a very clear idea of what it kind of wants from a manager and who they, and you can see it in who they've taken to as a manager and who they haven't taken to. And the managers they've taken to all have a certain type of personality. And Bresenyer isn't the kind of manager you would envisage them taking to.
And if you want to listen back to that in full, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. That's about all we have time for on today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and we'll be back with more next week.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.